The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Right, look, let's go to Australia. I'm delighted to say Orla O'Dwyer is with us. Orla, good morning here. Good evening to you. How's it going?
Oh, I'm very good. Thanks for having me on.
So listen, we're all jealous. Life seems pretty normal in Australia. What's it actually like?
Yeah, no, it's great here. It's crazy to see what's happening back home from talking to family and friends. But yeah, here in Brisbane, it's basically COVID-free. We did have a case a couple of weeks ago. One of the cleaners in hotel quarantine had the virus. So Brisbane then went in a 3-day lockdown, which isn't too bad. And then we had to wear a mask then for the following 10 days. But since that's over now, it's basically COVID-free so far anyway.
Wow. That's mad. So when did you get over there? When was the actual period that you were quarantining for?
So I came over at the start of November. I left Ireland the 5th of November. I think I was the first Irish girl to come over. I kind of had to make the decision to go during our championship season. So you're still involved with Tip Camogie and Tip Ladies Football. But I had flights already cancelled on me and I didn't know what way I was going to go. So I was lucky enough to get a flight early November and get over here, and I quarantined then in the city in Brisbane for the 2 weeks. So overall, I just missed 2 weeks of pre-season, which is great. And yeah, I was very lucky to get over. Even seeing how the other Irish girls handled their quarantine, I was very lucky to get to go outside for maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. So that really helped me.
Right. So you got in before the really hardcore quarantining happened.
Yeah, I thought mine was hardcore at the time, but it seems like it's getting a lot stricter now.
So you're actually allowed out. It's a kind of day release from prison for a few hours.
Yeah, so literally you could just call the reception and they put you on a list, and then any stage during the day, one of the guards would come up and escort you down to a kind of yard where you could just walk laps or do a little workout or something. So that really helped the day and broke it up for me.
And Orla, was it hard to leave an ongoing season? I guess it must have been.
Yeah, it was definitely a difficult decision. And it was so last minute as well. I actually only told the managers and my friends as well, literally 2 or 3 days before I left. My previous flights had got cancelled, so I didn't want to jinx it and tell everyone where I was going. But yeah, it was definitely a hard decision. I missed the league, obviously, at the start of the year, because being in Australia, so I was really looking forward to the championship, and we were lucky to have a championship as well, and I got to play the first few games. But yeah, I missed the quarterfinals and the last round of the football as well. But I knew that I had to come over here as well. I didn't want to miss much pre-season because I'd already be behind from missing the club series they had. So I was happy at my decision in the end, and I had my college deferred, and I think I was ready to come over.
How does your manager react when you tell him you're off again?
I think they knew I was getting, I was coming out for another season. So it was just the time of when. So I actually am an Aussie citizen, so I didn't have to apply for the travel exemption. So I think that kind of freed up my time a bit. So I was just looking at flights, and the clubs were helping as well. So I kind of just let them know via text just a couple of days before. But I think they're happy, yeah, that I'm out here now. They understood the circumstances.
For sure. And I'm sure before you flew home, it was a no-brainer, as a professional athlete living the full-time lifestyle in Australia is something you absolutely can't turn down. But when you're in that bubble, when you are back home, sometimes your decision making, or everybody's decision making, can get skewed a little bit. Was that the case for you? Was it a tough decision to make, basically, at the end, to say, no, listen, I'm done and I have to get on this flight?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. I think having lockdown helped as well, though. I was kind of sick of my family when it came to November at that stage, but yeah, no, it was definitely a hard decision. And my manager, actually, with Brisbane Lions, was in the same boat. He was in Switzerland all during COVID as well. He came back in March. So me and him were trying to find flights. And I knew myself that I didn't want to go into the AFL season on the backhand. I wanted to get the most out of this season. So I kind of just had to make the decision. And all my family and friends have been supportive of it. So I think it was just once the flight was set to go that I just couldn't really look back.
Orla, anybody who has social media will have seen their friends in Australia jumping off yachts and downing cans and everything like that yesterday for Australia Day. What does Australia Day involve for a professional athlete?
We actually had our season launch yesterday and then we train in afterwards. So we usually have the season launch maybe end of January, maybe start of February, but a few weeks prior, but we were actually a bit stuck with time. So it was very informal, just having family and friends around. And we just kind of, the new players that were in the team just kind of got their day. And then afterwards we just had training. So yeah, it was good.
Do you get to enjoy life there? Like, I guess compared to what life would be here at the moment, it's of course a step up. I mean, Australia is in a much better place COVID-wise. Are you appreciating the life outside of the training, or does there have to be a little bit of tunnel vision when it comes to being an AFLW player?
No, I actually love the lifestyle here in Australia. It's very outdoorsy and it's very kind of a healthy, active lifestyle, which I'd love anyway. But yeah, there is, especially during the pre-season and once you get into season, there is that they do have rules about not being able to go out, let's say, and stuff, and just really focus on the training. The season is very short as well. It only is 9-10 weeks and then it's over. So they try to get us in the best possible shape and try and really get a team together for those games. So I think everyone does appreciate and know how short the season is, that it's not that long to give up that time and dedicate it to training.
Forgive my ignorance of this. Is this a shortened season? Like, would it have been a 9-game season if everything was all going well?
Yeah, so AFLW, the season is short anyway. So there's usually two conferences and you basically play out, and then there's 3 weeks of finals at the end, which is probably end of March, start of April time. And this year, obviously with COVID, there's still some restrictions getting into states. So they just have one kind of conference and they're still playing as many games. So I think it's 9 or 10 games at the moment. And then we have weeks of finals. So yeah, it is that short space of time. So it's game after game every weekend. So you just have to be ready for the next one.
Because it definitely seemed like the AFLW was on a massive upward surge before COVID, where, you know, they'd been very innovative about getting crowds to the stadiums. The TV coverage is getting lauded. It's like a load of teams where the men and women are training together a couple of times during the week. And just the hype around the league itself seemed to be really, really growing. So, you know, you hope that continues through the midst of what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And even every year you can see how far AFLW has come. And even this year now, it's the fifth season. So compared to the first and second season, it's obviously grown massively in attendances, coverage, and everything in between as well. I think this year now as well, they're having paid entry into the games. So beforehand, it used to be free into all the AFLW games, but now they're having that paid entry and the crowds still come in. So yeah, it's great. It's great atmosphere, especially a home game, and it's something that is really good to see.
How excited are your Australian teammates for being broadcast live on TG Qatar over the next little while?
Yeah, it's great to hear that news. I think it's really good to see for people in Ireland and to see how the game goes as well, because even before I got drafted last year or applied to Cross Coders, I knew of the game but didn't really know how it went. And obviously Cora Staunton was the first one over, and then the likes of Sarah Rowe and Ashley McCarthy and Ailish Considine then following. You just kind of see a bit of on Twitter some highlights of the game, but to actually see the proper game and how it's played, I think a lot of people will really appreciate that back home in Ireland.
The fact that you're an Aussie citizen obviously helps as well.
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger, everyone used to say how lucky that would be for the future, but I didn't really realise until now how beneficial that actually is over here with setting up everything. It's just a lot easier.
And I presume made you very attractive for whoever was drafting you as well, because it's less paperwork and all that kind of stuff just makes it much easier for them too.
Yeah, definitely. I think the clubs that were interested, it did help a lot. But I think still there is, like with the flights coming over and having to pay for a quarantine, especially this year, and making it less, it's a bit less feasible on top of having missing the, let's say, club season as well. It is harder for Irish players to catch up and stuff. So I was definitely privileged to get the opportunity.
And do you think there'll be as many next year again? Or like, is this kind of the peak of it? What's your instinct on that?
It's kind of hard to know. I'd love to say yes. Like, I'd love to see more Irish girls come over and experience the game and even just experience the professional lifestyle, which is so so great as well, on top of everything too. But it's just hard to know because every club now has academy, so they've underage girls coming up and a lot of more girls are playing it, and it's becoming more known as well. So it's hard to know, and because we have the Gaelic season and Camogie back home that we still want to always play, it's hard to just get the balance between the two. So I'd like to say yes, so hopefully we still see a few more faces.
I was going to ask, it sounds like you love Australia so much you might end up staying out there, but you've just said that you want to play Gaelic and hurling every summer.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think AFLW is great, but I think the sport that you've played all your life and you know the roots to will always be so important and privileged to play. So yeah, I'm hoping to go back and play the championship with Tipperary as well this year if it goes ahead, and I'm really looking forward to that. And even last year when I got back in March, I was just ready to see the girls again, get back in to train. And I think especially here in Australia, because the clubs can transfer and you can move to different clubs and you can see girls in the draft switching teams all the time, I think it's great back home the way you can see everyone just plays with their county, and that's their county the whole way up. And I think that really means a lot to people.
Well, we're having a series of conversations with various people involved in sport at different levels, administrators and scientists and just participants this week about the future of Irish sport. Essentially what happened was the Sport New Zealand, the umbrella body for all the sports, looked at dropout in New Zealand, and we're like, well, it turns out teenagers stop having fun because the pressure to win is one of the main things that they're coming under. And then they're also being told you can only play one sport because you have to give us your full attention, and they were just turning their back on it and being lost to sport forever. You obviously played a lot of sports as a teenager and didn't drop out. Are we getting better as a country in Ireland at keeping people, or were you fairly unique? Did loads of your friends drop out? What was your experience like?
Yeah, I definitely think the sport is growing, especially with women. You can see how well the Camogie and the LGFA are doing as well, especially with the dual players too. But I think a big part of that is, for me anyway, was definitely my parents and family. Especially when you can't drive, going to all the underage games, having to get lifts and having to collect you. And I think that's a huge part of the underage coming up along. So I think if my parents weren't as interested, I don't know how or where I'd be today, let's say. So that's definitely a huge part, along with your circle as well. I was lucky enough that most of my friends are all sport related as well. And I'd say my best friends now are definitely the girls that I play along with and see a training all the time. So I think it's just that circle you're in as well. But yeah, hopefully now that the next few years that sport in Ireland and women's sport does increase. And I think there's definitely a great place for it to go, and with coverage and everything, it's becoming bigger and bigger. So hopefully.
Well, you're bang smack in the middle of that with your story. And like, it's amazing just the level of interest that there is in the 14 Irish women who are out there, and I think the Irish women's soccer team who are travelling around the world as well and playing in America and playing in Germany and playing in England too. So these are great stories, and I don't know if you feel any pressure or if you feel any sense of being a role model, but you have become one kind of almost automatically now.
I don't know about that, but yeah, no, it's great to see, and I'm even seeing people starting following the AFLW is huge. I like people being able to see how, let's say, life is here and other type of sports, and even people getting an interest in it too is great to see. So that's hopefully now in the next while we can see some more future stars come forward too.
You've got Richmond Lions this Sunday, is that right?
Yeah, so our first game is this Sunday against Richmond in Melbourne. So because of some COVID restrictions, we're actually doing a fly-in, fly-out game. So we're actually going down Sunday morning and then playing that afternoon and then flying back up Sunday evening. So bit different to last year, where we usually go down the day before a game, do our captain's run, and play the game the next day. So definitely has advantages and disadvantages, but I think everyone's so excited to get to play. We were meant to play Richmond the last game last year around 7, but it got obviously called off because of COVID. So there'll definitely be a bit of hunger there, and we're really excited to play them round 1.
Well, listen, best of luck, Orla. Great to chat to you. Thanks a million.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's Orla Dwyer there from the Brisbane Lions, and of course the Tipperary Camogie and football teams as well. If that is going to be, I think some of those highlights are going to be on TG Cars as soon as this weekend, Owen?
They're showing live coverage or deferred coverage on top of that as well. So you've got highlights and you've got full games as well. Is it on this weekend? I haven't seen the fixture list for this weekend. I don't know what games are on television, but I can do that with a very quick Google and I'll be back to you in 2 seconds.
All right, 10 minutes past 9 here this morning. Professor Niall Moyna was in conversation with Joe on the show last night about the future of sport in Ireland and just the general fitness levels that we have at the moment, to kind of plug in the academic side of this and also some fairly simple fixes to any of your own fitness issues and a quick fitness test that you can do. So if you've got an interest in that, you should stay tuned from 9:30. We've got Deal or No Deal with Phil Egan, and we're back talking Kerry football and telling you what game you can watch on TG Gar next.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.